Just quickly, if you've got a question you would like answered on this show, then head over to @AshBorland on Instagram and drop me a direct message. I answer questions from people all the time on this show, and it's one of my favorite things to do every single morning before I start my day. So if you've got a question within marketing or sales or processes within financial services, then drop me a DM @AshBorland on Instagram, or ashborland.com/Instagram, and it'll redirect you there, and I will answer the question on the show when we get around to it. Anyway, let's get into this episode. Perfectionism is an absolute killer, and the amount of people that speak to me and say, Ash, I'm a perfectionist and that's why I can't do things or why I don't get things done is crazy. Don't let that, first of all, don't wear that badge with pride or even wear that badge at all. The term perfectionism is just very frustrating, and I just don't think you should really be talking about it. But how do I beat perfectionism, so to speak? How is it that I myself have get over that? Because I'm human and I feel the same as all you. I feel exactly the same. I still worry about perfectionism. I still worry about how it's going to reflect and how I'm, is this going to look good? Is it going to look bad? I tell you what, fun story about me, embarrassing story about me. I've deleted so much content over the years because it was not what I thought was good or deemed successful enough, because the camera wasn't good, the lighting wasn't good, the sound wasn't good. All of these things, which I look back at now and think, gosh, I wish I hadn't, because I realized that done is better than perfect, and part of the process is just making the content and progressing, and to not be able to see the progression now is really quite sad. So I think that for me, I really wish I had not done that, but that just shows you, so we all make mistakes. I do them too. So if you're listening thinking Ash's got it figured out, I absolutely don't. But this is something that has helped me with perfectionism and helps me frame it so that I don't get caught up in the kind of spinning my wheels, which I think is something that many people do. So the first thing, okay, that I need to look at is that the number one success factor is volume produced. The more you make, the more successful you'll be. So that's the number one success factor. And that's what's helped me with perfectionism. Understanding that if I don't produce content at scale, I'm never going to get good. I'm never going to be successful. So that's the first thing. So how do we reach this idea of volume and not let the perfectionism fall apart and make me feel awful? So the first thing I have to remember is this specific one is the 70-20-10 rule, which is the perfectionism rule. I absolutely love this one. And this is that 70% of your work, of the work I create, will be mediocre. 70% of the things I do will not be good. It'll be mediocre at best. Mediocre meaning average. So it's going to be all right. And it's enough. And by the way, this is like everybody. You, as a mortgage broker, you'll be the same. 70% of the work you do, the clients will just be meh. It's good, bad, indifferent. Doesn't matter how good you are. Doesn't matter if you're Grant Cardone or Andy Elliott and smashing it. 70% is still going to be mediocre. And that's okay. 20% is going to suck. So no matter how good you think you are, 20% is actually going to be really bad. It's going to be bad. And it's going to sting, and it's, and it won't go the way you want it to go. This could be client interactions. This could be the content you make, a big fail up. Like you say something. The worst with stuff like this, by the way, is things like where you say something that's maybe been hit the wrong way. It's been taken the wrong way when it comes out, and people react to it negatively. And that happens. It's happened to me many times. And you end up, like they say, with egg on your face. You look a bit stupid. You feel a bit stupid. That happens to the best of us. Okay, so that's a very normal thing to happen. Very normal thing to happen. That's, like I said, completely normal. But that's going to happen. That's 20%. 20%. So if you're dealing with 100 clients, 20 of them are going to be bad outcomes. It's just going to happen. Or you make 100 videos, 20 of them are going to really suck. And then the 10% will be amazing. 10% will be that perfectionism, that, so to speak, that you want. 10%. 10% of those people, what things will be the things that you really, it's exactly how you want it to go. Now, if you're avoiding failure, the thing with this, and this is why it's really important to understand this, if you're trying to avoid failure, you also in turn avoid success. Because it's all in this factor, it's all in this percentage, it's all in the pie. You can't get rid of it. If I deal with 5 people, it's still going to be the 70-20-10. If I deal with 10 people, it's still going to be the 70-20-10. And the reason why that's the case, by the way, is that you actually learn from all three of those things. So if your pursuit, it's not to be perfect, it's to be better. And so by pursuing all three of those things, what would I say from the 71, where it'll be mediocre, what you'll do, it'll be average. What that shows you is what your baseline is. that mediocre thing, and what I measure that average is against last year's average, is that better than I did last year? Because it will be. That is a good indicator of what your kind of maintenance level is, how good you actually are. The 20% about things that will suck and go wrong, brilliant learning moments to see what went wrong. When a client leaves me, every time a client leaves me, and they do, I've had enough churn over the years, I've done this long enough, over 5 years, to be able to know, like, I haven't got the same client. Some clients are the same, but not all of them. Most people leave within about 18 months. Some a little bit earlier, some a little bit later. But when people leave, there's a lesson as to why they left. Could I have done something differently? Could I have spotted a trait that was in that? So could I have personally done something differently? That's the first one. Is there something I could have done that maybe made them feel like that way? Or did that be part of it even better? Whatever it may be. Or other things, which is one that actually comes up as well, is sometimes the client isn't a good fit. And it's, what trait did they exhibit on a discovery call? And what trait did I exhibit when I was talking to them that made them not a good fit? How can I identify that earlier? It's the reason why now I don't work with people who don't charge fees, and I don't work with people who don't sell insurance. Because the first thing we'll do pretty much when we start working together is work on your processes, because we get that fixed first. The first thing we do with that is that, when we do that, the best way for you to make money as a broker is increase fees and sell insurance. So I can't bring the value the way I would like if I can't do that. And this is something, again, I only learned those things. This podcast, the stuff I talk about, these are mostly learned from the things that went wrong. They're mostly learned from the things that went wrong. So there are huge learning curves in that 20%. And then in that 10% that's amazing, that is like perfection, what's really interesting with that is use that to spur on to show that's what you're capable of. That's not fluke. That is perfect scenario of perfect client, perfect situation, perfect timing, perfect. It's perfect in everything. And those 10%, they are when you get client reviews and you get those reviews and people are like, oh, wow, does every single client I work with smash every single goal? No. And if they did, I really wish they did, but that doesn't work that way because there's too many variables. There's the variables of them. There's the variables of do they have the mindset, the tenacity, the ability to do this? Because I, again, made this mistake of perfectionism is I'm a very driven person. I'll work very hard. I'll work till I die type person. Like for me, when I got diagnosed with my kidney disease, I was like, I need to get my heart rate down, my blood pressure down, all that stuff. So it was like, I'm going to do this till my heart pops or it gets better. Now, it's a degenerative disease, but my mindset doesn't see that way. I'm like, I'm going to do it till it pops or gets better. That's the way I look at it. Not everyone is like that. 10% of my clients are like that. That's why you have the Anish Patels, who I talk about a lot, because they're that 10%. The Carla Edwards, the Nicola Huxleys. And there's quite a lot others in that category, by the way. When you do it for 5 years, 10% stack up quite a lot. But there are people in the 70, and that's great because I love it too. 70 is the average work. They're the people who generate income, do businesses, but they're not winning mega deals. But what's really interesting is the 70% of those people now are very different to the 70% of the people last year. They actually achieved more this year than they did last year. So as long as the progression, so that's what I would say with the perfectionism, it's about volume. As long as the 70% is improving as a mass from year on year, and as long as the problems that you're having in that 20% are not the same problems because you're not fixing them, if they are new problems, that means you're progressing. If the quality of work has increased in the 70%, it means you're progressing. And if the heavy hitting in those 10% have gone up and your results are going from, when I first started, it was, we'd be happy if someone had got a lead from a social media video. Now, I've got advisors who are doing seven figures off the back of some of the stuff we're doing. These things are, they change. And the main thing we want to track is a number one factor that influences success is volume produced, the number one factor. So everything you do, as long as you keep pushing, you're going to get all those averages are still going to happen. But as long as we're progressing and we're moving forward, failing forward, you will be successful. And like I said, to end on this note, I've said it earlier, if you avoid failure, you will also avoid success. Don't do that. Don't be that person. Instead, double down and start accepting that you're not going to be perfect, and actually it's the act of not being perfect that's going to get you closer to that never-ending goal of actually being perfect.